Catfishing Radio, episode 24.
You're listening to Learn to Catch Catfish, Catfishing Radio, with your host, professional guide, Chad Ferguson. Catfishing Radio covers tips, tricks, and information to help you learn how to catch more and bigger catfish on your next fishing trip. The ultimate resource available for expert catfishing information. After listening, make sure you visit learntocatchcatfish.com. Now, here's your host, Chad Ferguson.
Hey, this is Chad Ferguson, LearnToCatchCatfish.com, and you're listening to Catfishing Radio, episode 24. Catfishing Radio is the podcast radio show dedicated to the sport of fishing for catfish. Whether you fish for blues, channels, or flatheads, fish in lakes, rivers, streams, or ponds, our goal is to provide you with the information that you need to be more successful out on the water on your next fishing trip. Catfishing Radio is a production of LearnToCatchCatfish.com. Certainly a small portion of what we do. You can head over to learntocatchcatfish.com to check out all the other catfishing videos, articles, tips, tricks, and information over there that will help you be more successful out on the water and help you catch more bigger catfish. You can check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/catchcatfish or at catchcatfish on Twitter, and facebook.com/catchcatfish. Lots of great things going on over there on Facebook and Twitter. Send us a quick message. Follow us on Facebook. Let us know any feedback you have about the Catfishing Radio podcast or Learn to Catch Catfish if you have questions. And if you get out there and you catch some fish, post a picture over there on our Facebook page and let us know. Love to see those fishing pictures that people submit and feedback that people have about Learn to Catch Catfish and the Catfishing Radio podcast. Catfishing Radio is sponsored by Team Catfish. You can check them out at teamcatfish.com. Check out the Sudden Impact Fiber Bait, 67 Catfish Bait, the Team Catfish Rods, the new line out from Team Catfish. Just got some of that in the mail from Jeff the other day. I don't remember the name, and I don't have it sitting in front of me right now, but man, it is bright yellow. Love it. Just spooled up a bunch of rods with it. Can't wait to get out and give that a try. Check out those products over at teamcatfish.com. Also want you to check out our other sponsor, just came on board here of recent, the Brute Box Ice Chest from Brute Outdoors. 5-day cooler, affordable pricing, super tough. Their website, bruteoutdoors.com. Don't forget, you can use the coupon code CATCHCATFISH, C-A-T-H, CATFISH, at checkout. Get $25 off any one of those coolers from Brute Outdoors. If you want to learn more about those, you can learn about those on their website. Again, bruteoutdoors.com. Or go to Learn to Catch Catfish website and check out the review of that product in the video that I have posted there. This week's show, I had a guest lined up, and our schedules got all messed up. I got sick earlier this week and lost my voice, and I'm still kind of struggling. And I'm coughing a little bit, so you're going to have to bear with me if there's some little coughs here throughout this podcast. My guest fell through. I wasn't able to coordinate schedules, so I'm going to just kind of wing it this week. And want to talk about common mistakes that I see catfish anglers making. This isn't really just specific to catfish. This is specific to really any type of fishing. It will apply because this is the Catfishing Radio podcast. Going to talk specifically about catfishing, but common mistakes that catfish anglers make is going to be the topic of this week's show. And then we'll see how long it goes. May throw in a little Q&A here in the end. If not, then probably we'll be coming back with a Q&A show next week. If you have a question for the Catfishing Radio podcast, you can give us a call, 817-381-5604. Again, that's 817-381-5604. Leave your question on the Catfishing Radio hotline, and we will bring you on next week's show with that question or a future show with that question, and try to get you answers to your questions about fishing for catfish. So, before I get into the common mistakes that I see catfish anglers making, or some of the most common mistakes I see catfish anglers making, I want to say real quick, make sure you head over to our page on iTunes if you haven't done so already. And go over to the top left-hand side, hit the subscribe button, subscribe to the Catfishing Radio podcast in iTunes. Leave us a star rating and write us a real quick review of the podcast down there at the bottom of the page. Just takes a few minutes and really helps us with the exposure there in iTunes and making sure that more people see the podcast and are listening to the podcast. And certainly the more people we get listening to the show, then the more we're going to be able to do with the show here in the future. If you haven't done so already, make sure you head over and check out the Spring Blue Catfish Techniques ebook that we have available. You can go to springcatfishing.com and check out that program. That is an in-depth guide on locating and catching blue catfish in the springtime, March, April, May. Some of the most amazing fishing of the year for numbers of blue catfish, catching some trophy class blue catfish. And that book is an in-depth guide on locating and catching those fish. Everything that you need to know from start to finish. It's really like a guide trip in a package that you can download, read, and go out and follow that blueprint to be able to go out and locate and catch fish on your own, on your home water during the spring. Again, excuse me, that was that cough from being sick. Again, springcatfishing.com. You can also go check out all the other products that we have available there on the website, learntocatchcatfish.com/products, learntocatchcatfish.com/products, the Secret Channel Catfish Rig, Summer Channel Catfish Techniques, Jug Fishing 101, all the other programs that we have available there on the website. And the proceeds from those products are what pays the bills and allows us to continue to provide the podcast and all the other information that we provide out there. Think of it kind of like a PBS show, I guess. We do this for free, and we use the income from those paid products, the premium products, to pay for those. So again, springcatfishing.com or learntocatchcatfish.com/products. So, common mistakes that anglers make getting out. A lot of people would say, I guess, the weekend angler or, you know, guy that doesn't fish a lot, doesn't fish every week, all week, doesn't fish every weekend. And some of the mistakes that I see that people make when they're going in and trying to catch fish. Number one is fishing history. So what I see is that a lot of people that aren't fishing a whole lot, aren't fishing on a regular basis, they get out there, they don't have a whole lot of time on their hands, they want to get out there, start getting fish in the boat, and they, instead of exploring new areas to fish and trying new things, they stick with what has produced in the past, regardless of what the season is, what the time of year was that that area was productive, and what may or may not have happened. And so what I mean by that is what I see is that guys go out and let's say they caught fish in a certain location in June, let's say. And then they go back, maybe they don't fish for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two. Let's say they go back in September. And they go right back to that place that they fished in June where they caught fish. They don't catch anything. And they sit and sit and sit and sit. And then they scratch their head. And they rely on those places that they once caught fish a different time of the year. And they don't break outside that box and try to fish new areas and try new things. And that is what I call a dead end streak. There's a couple of reasons behind that. One, lakes change all the time. Rivers change all the time. Water rises, water falls. Certainly like the drought that we experienced here in North Texas last summer. You know, a lot of our lakes were here in North Texas were 10 feet low or more there was a lot of lakes in other parts of the state that were considerably lower than that. And when a lake is 10 feet low, it changes the lake. It's a different body of water. It doesn't take a rise or fall of very much water at all to change a body of water and make it different and change the fishing. It doesn't take changes in temperature. Can be, you know, even just a few degrees difference can trigger those fish to move to different areas of the water or different areas of the water column and change the fishing. So what I see, again, let's say, you know, the guy gets out there, he goes out on the water, he fishes in March, and you know, goes out and just has a great day of fishing and goes home and he's pumped. And a month later, he goes back out, goes right back to that same spot, doesn't catch any fish, and he fishes and fishes and fishes, covers the whole area, spends a whole lot of time there, doesn't do any good, and then he just kind of throws his hands in the air and gives up. So the first thing I would say to that would be to follow the 15-minute rule. If you get in there, most of the time, again, unless you're targeting for trophy catfish, 15 minutes, no activity, move. You can go out and check out that podcast that we did where we talked about that 15-minute rule. The other thing I would say is that you have to pay attention to what's going on with the season and where those fish should be at that time of year. You know, whether they're shallow in the spring, whether they're shallow or deeper in the winter, there's a lot of different variables there. And learning how to pattern bait fish will help a lot with being able to learn where those fish are. But don't rely on fishing history because you caught fish in one place at a certain time of the year. Certainly nothing wrong with going and trying that spot, but don't dedicate an inordinate amount of time to it if it's not productive when you try it again. And you have to fish history based on seasons if you're going to fish history. So if an area is productive in March and April, chances are that it won't be productive in June and July. It could be, but chances are that it won't. So if you are having productive fishing at that certain time of year, it doesn't mean that it will be productive 3 or 4 months later. Now, it does mean that keeping really good fishing logs, like I've mentioned many times, you can go download our fishing log form. There's a ton of different ways you can do that. But keeping a good fishing log, and if you're going to fish that history based on season, and then still stick with that 15-minute rule, and don't wait for fish to come to you. Go find fish. When you get out on the water, outside of that, even if you know in March and April that there's a certain area that is productive, and even if you go right to it and you catch fish, make it a point every single time you get on the water to fish new water. Nothing wrong with going to a place that you know is going to produce and whack them and stack them and get out of there. And then obviously if you get in there and you're not being productive, you need to move quick and find another place to fish. But even if you know where the fish are, make it a point every single time you get on the water to fish new water. And I've been fishing on one of the lakes I guide on, Eagle Mountain Lake, since I was a small child, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and fishing that lake well over 30 years. And I make it a point every time I go out to try some place that I haven't fished before, or at least look in some place that I haven't fished before. And that's how I find some of my most productive fishing waters different times of the year, where I'll have a day. I'll follow the techniques like I outlined in the spring catfishing book or the summer channel catfish book. And I'll get out there and in the morning and we'll get into fish immediately and just start whacking them and stacking them. We'll fish 2 or 3 different places. And then let's say the bite slows down a little bit in those areas. And I make it a point every single time to go out and try something different in a different part of the lake or a different area that I hadn't fished. Now, that may mean putting those baits 50 yards over from somewhere that I've fished before, or moving out a little bit, or moving in a little bit, or just some kind of slight variation. But I make it a point to go out and explore something new each and every single time. Now, when doing that, I rely on my graph, and I don't fish if I don't see something there that's going to be productive. I use what's on that screen to guide me. And, you know, sometimes I get in there and I see stuff on the screen. I don't catch fish. Sometimes I get in there, see stuff on screen, whack them and stack them. My customers look at me and say, wow, man, this is a great spot, man. And how come you never took us here before? Well, never fished here before. Just hit it right, right place, right time. All the stars aligned. Everything worked out. Prime example of that, last spring I went into a place. There's a spot that I'd driven by probably 10,000 times, never went back and fished it. Last spring, we'd gone out, we'd pulled up to a spot one morning, caught about 30, 35 fish in this one place, and said, you know what, I'm going to pull over here and try this. We pulled over there, limited out four people, caught the 70 remaining fish when I pulled up into that spot, and started fishing it. So, again, if you're going to fish history, limit the amount of time that you're spending there. Follow that 15-minute rule. And even if you're out on the water and you're productive, make sure that you fish new water every single time you go out. Dedicate at least part of that time that you're fishing to exploring new water, trying to fish new water. And that can even mean just going around in an area and idling with your sonar, watching your graph, watching side scan if you have it, looking to see what's out there, if there's fish, if there's bait fish, and if there's structure or cover that would hold fish or bait fish in that area. And certainly, you know, keep that in your bank. You know, if you see something that looks interesting, mark it on your GPS. Take your notepad with you or something. Make you a little note. Because oftentimes what I find when I'm doing that and just spending a little bit of time idling around looking at different areas is that I will see places and say, that looks interesting. Not going to try it right now because it's not a good fit for this time of year where the fish should be and what they should be doing, and I don't see anything there. But I'm going to save that spot and make a mental note to go back and try that, you know, in the spring or in the summer or in the winter or whatever time I think that that might be a productive time of the year for that area. And, you know, a lot of times what I'll do, I'll mark that spot on my GPS, and then you can go in and you'll change the name of the waypoints. And, you know, I'll go in and I'll mark a spot and I'll change the name to try January or maybe January or, you know, maybe March or something like that. So I have a mental note and a record that I can go back if I'm out there fishing and I get close to an area, then I start looking on my screen if I'm fishing and I'll say, okay, well, I'm fishing over here and while I got rods out in the water, I'm kind of looking at that GPS, say, hey, you know, hey, I made a note here last January that I should try this spot in March. And I'm going to wheel over here. Just take a look around a little bit on that graph and see what's out there. See what's going on. Maybe go back and give that a try. So that's number one. Fishing history, fishing spots, and not trying new waters and new areas. Okay, number two is keying in or fishing solely on or around cover. Now, the definition of cover, people often get this confused. Cover and structure are very two different things. Structure is any kind of contour change or anything different about the bottom contour of the lake or the bottom structure of the lake. like a drop-off, a creek channel, a riverbed ledge, anything at all like that. Cover is going to be anything that would those fish would orient to on either in the water or on the surface of water. So some examples of cover would be, timber, boat docks, lay down logs, lily pads, big cattail beds, big stump fields, anything like that is cover. Structure, again, changes in bottom contour and bottom material, where there's any kind of change in the bottom of the water where fish would orient to. So, number two, again, keying in solely on cover. And I see this a lot where guys will go out and they say, okay, well, I'm going to fish stumps, and then I'm going to fish cattails, and then I'm going to fish lily beds, and then I'm going to fish this lay down log over here. And they spend all this time hopping around, focusing on these different things that are out there in the water. And they completely, totally ignore the open water. Fish move, and blue catfish follow the food, which is the primary bait fish that's going to be in the lake, whether that be shad, whether it be skipjack herring, whatever that's going to be. Those blue catfish are always going to be right at or around where the food is, 95% of the time. Now, that's not to say you can't go out and find fish where there is no food source, but the majority of the time, you are going to find blue catfish near where the food source is. And by keying in solely on that cover, the boat docks, the lily pads, the tree stumps, the lay down logs, the cattails, all those different things, you're ignoring huge portions of the water. Huge, huge portions of the water. And you're missing out on a tremendous amount of areas to fish. Now, certainly when I fish for channel catfish, I spend a lot of time fishing cover. But when I fish for blue catfish, I really don't focus a whole lot on cover. Focus more on structure. Now, there are times where I focus on structure on cover to an extent. But the majority of the time, I focus on where the bait fish are and where they're oriented to the structure. Because bait fish will oftentimes orient to structure. And blue catfish love to orient to structure. Because changes in bottom contour give them something to hold to. As we talked about last week in that podcast with Bill Dance, any kind of change in the bottom contour changes things. It gives the fish a place to hold. It changes the current in the water. It gives them a place to lay up and ambush prey that's moving around. There's all kinds of different variables to that. So you need to make sure that you don't just hone in on fishing that cover and that you really focus on the whole body of water. Using that sonar to get out there and find and locate bait fish and find and locate active feeding fish on that sonar, wherever they may be in the lake. Again, my focus on channel catfish is often very cover oriented, but my focus on blue catfish is typically very structure oriented and relying on what I'm seeing on that graph and going out and finding that stuff on the screen. Now, again, nothing wrong with fishing that stuff. If it's produced for you in the past, you think it might work, go in and give it a try, but don't dedicate an inordinate amount of time to doing that. And also make sure that you don't not focus on the entire rest of the body of water because you're so keyed in on that cover and being around those stumps and cattails and lily pads and all those other things out there in the water. Number three, and this is a huge one, staying out of the wind. And I can't tell you how much effect that wind has on fishing for catfish. And, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me how many people get in the boat and the lake is slick as glass and they say, oh, wow, man, this is great. There's no wind. Beautiful. That's the last thing that you want. Fishing is always better when there's wind for catfish. Period. End of discussion. When there's some wind, when there's some chop on the water, there's it changes the fishing. It's easier to stay on anchor. It congregates the bait fish more. It does amazing things to help the fishing. It puts oxygen in the water. The fishing is always better when there's wind. And as long as there's not too much wind where it's unsafe or where you can't stay on anchor or where you can't slow the boat down enough to drift fish, then it's all good. Make sure you have a good anchor. Make sure you have good drift socks. And get out there and battle the wind as long as it's safe to be out on the water. The fishing is always going to be better when there's wind and working with the wind because wind drives plankton, bait fish feed on plankton, fish feed on bait fish. So when there's some wind moving, it stacks up the plankton, it stacks up the bait fish, it stacks up the fish. And what I see many anglers do when there's a pretty good clip of wind blowing is rather than get out and work with that wind and use that wind to their advantage, what they do is they get out of the wind and they focus on trying to find places where the wind's not blowing on them. And rather than getting out and using their sonar and finding those bait fish and paying attention to what that wind is doing to the water and how it's affecting those fish and quite honestly where the fish are, then what they do is they go up and they pull up around a cove or pull up by a dam or up behind a point or back in a creek bed or something like that, and they try to get out of the wind because they don't want to be in it. They don't want to be blown around. They don't want to fight with the anchors. And many, many, many times, if not most of the time, they're fishing unproductive water in an attempt to stay out of that wind. And, you know, this applies to so many different species of fish. And the guys that are productive and that catch the most fish are typically the guys that have good understanding of how that wind affects the fish and the bait fish and the fishing and what it does to a lake. And again, it has such huge impacts on the body of water. It doesn't matter if you're bass fishing, if you're crappie fishing, if you're fishing for catfish, white bass, anything at all, the wind has effect on the fishing. Again, wind drives plankton. There's a big misconception, and I hear it all the time, that the wind blows the bait fish around. And the wind doesn't blow the bait fish around. There is absolutely no truth to that at all. What happens is, again, the wind blows the plankton and it concentrates it, and the bait fish feed on the plankton. Well, when there's a large amount of plankton in an area, then there's going to be a large amount of bait fish in the area. When there's a large amount of bait fish in the area, there's going to be a large amount of fish in the area that feed on those bait fish. Doesn't matter what you're fishing for, if it's catfish, if it's bass, if it's white bass, if it's hybrids, if it's stripers, crappie, you name it, the wind is going to have significant impacts on the fish. So don't be afraid to get out there and brave that wind and look in those areas and pay attention to what the wind is doing. Use your sonar, trust what you're seeing on the screen, and get out there and use that wind to your advantage. This also applies to fishing from the shore. And I guess really for that matter, all of these apply to fishing from the shore. You just have to think about it from a different perspective and being on the bank instead of on the water. But don't be afraid to get out there in that wind. Get you a couple of good anchors that will hold your boat in a pretty steady clip of wind. Use those shallow water anchors. Get you some good drift shocks so you can slow your boat down in a decent amount of wind and get out there and work with the wind instead of against it, or instead of trying to hide from it and going back in those coves and behind the points and on the face of the dam and all those other things and trying to tuck away and hide from that wind instead of working with it and fishing with it. And you can talk around. If you talk to experienced bass anglers, you talk to really experienced white bass anglers and striper anglers, you're going to find that these guys get out there and they work with that wind. And especially when bait fish begin to move shallow, this can have very significant impacts on fishing and where you need to be in the water to be able to be productive and catch fish. So that's number three, trying to stay out of the wind or staying out of the wind. So number four on the common mistakes that I see anglers making is sticking with familiar techniques and baits and not trying to think out of the box a little bit. Again, this is kind of like fishing history and not going out and trying those new things. So they go out and they say, well, my granddaddy used a three-way rig and my daddy used a three-way rig, so I'm going to use a three-way rig. My granddaddy fished with chicken livers or blood bait and my daddy did it, so I'm going to do it too because we caught fish when I fished with them. And you have to think outside the box a little bit and don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to try new rigs. Don't be afraid to try new baits. Don't be afraid to try new areas. And think outside the box a little bit and get outside your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to change those rigs and try different rigs. You can even do that in tandem with your old familiar and what's worked. I see guys all the time that fish with that three-way rig and they won't try anything else because that's what they've always used. Or they fish with chicken livers and that's what they use because that's what they've always used. And they're not willing to think outside that box and step outside that comfort zone and try something different. Experiment with baits. If you're a chicken liver guy and you're a channel cat fisherman, step outside that comfort zone and try some punch bait or try some dip bait or try something different that you haven't normally used, even if it's a natural bait. If you're a blue cat fisherman and you fish for blue cat fish with punch bait, then get out there and learn how to throw a cast net and catch that bait. And so my wife's standing here at my doorway making me laugh. I'm sorry. Get out there and try something different. And, get outside that comfort zone. Try a different bait. Get a net. Learn how to catch shad. Try something different. If you're a flathead fisherman, try different rigs. All these different things. Just experiment with what you're doing a little bit. Even if it's just the simple fact of making your leaders a little bit longer or a little bit shorter or trying different baits, but get outside that comfort zone and try something different, because you will find that oftentimes you will hit something that just changes the game and it makes it different. It makes it more productive. It gets you harder bites. It gets you better bites. There's just a million different variables to what that can be. But think outside the box. You know, I fished for years and years and years with a certain setup for channel catfish with a certain slip cork and a certain technique. And I was hell bent that there was no better way. And I wouldn't listen to anything anybody told me. And then one day, I was fishing with a buddy of mine, a very close friend, and he started fishing with that secret channel catfish rig. And I had seen it used many, many times before fishing with him, but I'd never tried it. And I was hell-bent that my way was better than his. And wasn't willing to try anything different. And I kept on and on and on and on. And finally, I stepped outside that comfort zone and I tried that secret channel catfish rig. And it was a game changer. I was blown away. And I had been so stubborn for so long and not willing to try it. And I felt like such a fool when I started using with it or fishing with it and started putting fish in the boat that it was just crazy. I mean, it just completely and totally blew my mind what an idiot I had been and how close-minded I had been by not being willing to step outside that comfort zone and try something different. So, again, number four, try new things, experiment with different rigs, with modifications in rigs, with different baits, different hooks. Get outside that comfort zone. Push yourself a little bit to try something different. Again, even if it's in tandem with what you've done in the past and what is comfortable to you. And you may just be surprised with what happens. So again, those are the four common mistakes that I see the weekend angler or the occasional angler making when they get out on the water. Now, somewhere in the midst of all this, I've had my wife's come to the door here and made faces at me, and I've been laughing, and my power's gone off twice. And I had another one that came to me in the midst of all this that I wanted to add to it. And I don't know what happened. I completely totally forgot it. I don't remember what it was. Hopefully, it will pop back in my head here at some point, and I can come back and cover that one at a later time. But that's where I'm at for now. So again, those are the four common mistakes that I see anglers making. And to go in, think about those things. Think about what you're doing. And the next time you get out on the water, push yourself out of that comfort zone. Push yourself into new water. Try new places. Try new baits and new rigs or slight modifications to what you've done. Get out in that wind and fish in the wind and try some different things that might just change the way that you're fishing and putting more fish in your boat. So running just a little bit short here, so I'm going to jump in here and do some quick Q&A and wrap up this week's show. And I'm going to just kind of rifle through really some of the most recent questions that I have here because they're easy for me to get to. And I have a huge backlog of emails. I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep answering email questions because it's starting to get a little bit cumbersome. And it's kind of difficult to do. So again, give us a call at 817-381-5604 if you have a question. We'll answer it on the next episode of the Catfishing Radio podcast. Want to say one more time before I jump into the Q&A to check out our sponsors, Team Catfish, teamcatfish.com. Check out Brute Outdoors at bruteoutdoors.com, the affordable five-day ultra-heavy-duty fishing cooler. Use coupon code CATCHCATFISH at checkout for $25 off of that. Also, learntocatchcatfish.com/products or springcatfishing.com. Check out the Secret Channel Catfish Rig, the Summer Channel Catfish Techniques, the Spring Blue Catfish Book, all those products that we have out there, premium training programs that will help you put more fish in your boat on your next fishing trip. So, first question that I'm going to answer this week came in from Jose Gonzalez. Jose sent an email and said, "You mentioned that when you use circle hooks, you leave the reel engaged, and when you use kale hooks, you use the bait clicker. Why? I thought using free spool or bait clicker would be best with circle hooks so the fish could run off with it, and then you can set the hook by reeling it in due to the way that circle hooks work. Can you please explain?" So, Jose, I fish with the reel engaged with circle hooks. That is not to say that you can't fish with a bait clicker with a circle hook, but I will tell you through a tremendous amount of time trying both over the last 10 years or so, that fishing with the reel engaged is always going to be more productive when you're fishing with circle hooks. Now, that is dependent on, like we talked about in the Catfishing with Circle Hooks podcast, on making sure that you have a rod that has a soft enough tip where it can flex a little bit and it can do that work and set that hook for you. Again, several different techniques that you can use for fishing with circle hooks. You can use that reel technique. You can set the hook with a circle hook. Contrary to popular belief of what some people might think, you can set the hook with a circle hook, or you can just kind of let the rod and the hook do the work itself and do all that work for you. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode 19 of Catfishing Radio with Jeff Williams, where we talked about catfishing with circle hooks. Check that out. Really covers all that information. Now, on to the kale hooks. You can fish kale hooks with bait clickers. That is certainly one way of doing it. And then basically you let the fish run with the line. When they go to run with it, you turn the handle and set the hook. But I find, as a general rule, it's not an absolute, again, because there's not a whole lot of absolutes in fishing, but as a general rule, that when I'm fishing with the kale hook, when I hold the rod and actively set the hook when I get a bite, that I generally put more fish in the boat. My customers generally put more fish in the boat. So go back and check out that episode 19 on catfishing with circle hooks that I did with Jeff Williams. And also go back and listen to episode 18, Catfish Hooks with TJ Stallings. Some good information in both of those shows on using circle hooks for fishing for catfish. And you'll be able to go to the show notes for this week's show, episode 24, and I'll put links to those shows or those podcasts in this week's show notes as well. Next question came in from Ashley Weir, and Ashley sent in a question about that American Angler Ultra MT3 saltwater fillet knife that I've talked about so much. And I'm getting questions about this almost every day. And I'm trying to respond to them as quickly as I can, but I wanted to talk about it here in the podcast a little bit. That American Angler Ultra Saltwater MT3 is hands down the best electric fillet knife I have ever used. And it is leaps and bounds better than any other knife out there. I've talked about it a lot. I've written reviews on it. It's all over the website, and people can't find it. Well, the problem is that American Angler quit making that knife, and it is no longer available. Now, there may still be some old stock floating around out there, but that knife has been out of production for quite some time. I have tried to find some. Can't find any online anywhere. So if anybody happens to know where some are or hunt some down, let me know, because I would love to have a couple of them. So the knife is not in production, and as of about a month ago, there was not a replacement out there from American Angler. Now, I did talk to American Angler about this when they took the knife out of production, and they told me that they are in the process of building a new redesigned knife that's going to be bigger, faster, stronger, better, and that they'll have that on the market. And they said they were going to let me know when the new one was out there, but I don't know. I'm going to put a link to the American Angler website on there and their Facebook page as well. They're pretty good about responding to stuff on both. And, go over there, send them a message, man. I mean, if enough people send these people an email and say, hey, we want this knife back, maybe they'll do something to move that process along and get the replacement version out there. and hopefully it will be as good or better than that other knife was, because again, a great electric fillet knife. I have not been able to find anything else that even comes close. Now, I just checked out a couple of other knives the other day that I'm going to give a try and see how they work. I've heard good feedback on them, but I am cautiously optimistic, so we'll see. Certainly, if I find something else that I feel like is worthy of talking about and is equivalent to that American Angler Ultra MT3, or what I can find as being the next best thing that's out there, then I will make sure that I talk about that on the website and get that information out there. Let's see. Matt Cribb sent an email out, said, I'm located in North Carolina. I've been setting limb lines throughout the swamp next to my house. I'm new at this type of fishing. I need some facts and info for you on this. However, I've checked out your video on YouTube. It doesn't state anything about swamp fishing. What type of bait tackle do you recommend? Please reply as soon as possible. So, Matt, I don't do a whole lot of limb line fishing anymore. There was a point in time, it's been several years or more, probably five, since I've done any of that. There was a point in time where I did a lot of that, and I went through a kind of a spell for a while where I didn't fish with anything but set lines long back before I'm guiding. You know, the same general principles are going to apply with what's in my article and YouTube video on fishing with limb lines. You're going to use that same braided nylon twine hooks. If you're going to target smaller fish, I would check out that 5-aught double action circle hook from Team Catfish. If you're going to use a target bigger fish, then I would check out either that 7-aught Daiichi circle chunk light or that 8-aught Team Catfish double action circle hook, one of those two. Now, baits, you know, this is kind of like anything else. It really is going to depend on what species of catfish you're targeting. You can certainly use any kind of native food source to your area, whether that be, you know, crawfish or perch or shad, you know, cut bait, any kind of food source that's going to be native to that area that the catfish would feed on. If you're going to target, you know, channel catfish, you can use, you know, certainly some prepared baits on limb lines, like a shrimp soaked in a dip bait is can be a good bait on limb lines for channel catfish. And then, you know, check out our product. The Rednecks Catfish Bait Soap really is designed for set line fishing. And we haven't started making bait yet for 2012 because the weather is still a little bit too nasty, still a little bit too cold for us to make bait. But we'll have some bait out there on the market here probably in the next 30 days or so, I hope, when we have some warm weather. And it is a very good bait for fishing on limb lines for channel catfish. If you're going to fish for flatheads, then, you know, a good live bait, perch, goldfish, black salty bait fish, any kind of good lively bait hung right at the waterline is a very effective bait for fishing with limb lines. Let's see. Next question came in from Rusty Howell, I guess is how you say that. So I hope that's correct, Rusty. Rusty sent an email, said, for some reason I can't seem to find anything on the internet about how long channel catfish, blue catfish, or flathead catfish live. I've always been told that they grow all their lives, but how long do they live? Thank you for your time. Rusty, I wish I knew the answer to that. Unfortunately, the guest that I was supposed to have on this week's show was somebody that could have shined a tremendous amount of information on that topic, because he is very well versed in all kinds of catfishing species knowledge and biologies and all that kind of stuff. To get an age on a catfish, they have to pull the otolith, I believe is how you pronounce it, but the ear bone is essentially what that is, from the catfish to get the age. So there's not a whole lot of information out there on the aging of these fish. I know that big splash, that 121-pound world record catfish that came out of Lake Texoma that was such big news a number of years ago, really was the first big rod and reel catfish to hit the fishing scene in a long time. They had that fish in the tank there at Texas Freshwater Fishery Center here in Athens, Texas. And when that fish died, they aged it. And I don't remember the numbers on the age off the top of my head. But what I have always been told by biologists is fish are kind of like people, and that it's really hard to estimate age without them actually going through that aging process and doing that with that ear bone and whatever it is that they do. And I quite honestly don't know what that is. I've had some very brief conversations with some biologists about it. But I'm just going to kind of leave it at that, because I don't really feel like I'm educated enough to answer this question. But I will tell you again, have a guest coming up on another episode of the show here very, very soon, hopefully, if we can get our schedules coordinated. We're going to talk about some of that, the aging of catfish, some of the environmental effects of the water and how it affects the fish, and also going to have an extended conversation about trophy catfish and catfish conservation and some of what's going on in that world with the Parks and Wildlife and DNR departments out there and what they're doing out there in the fishing world to make the fishing better and to continue with that conversation, conservation of trophy fish. Let's see. Don sent in an email. Don't have a last name here. Don sent an email, said recently bought a nice Garcia 7000 reel, paired it with an ECAT 7'6" heavy rod. I know the reel is good. I'll be using 80-pound PowerPro braid. My question is, will this rod get the job done on large blue cat? What about its longevities and pros and cons? I assume, Don, that by ECAT that you're talking about the Berkley ECAT rod. The Berkley ECAT rod was a rod that was designed by a guy named Jim Moyer. Jim is was a guide. I'm not sure if he still is. I believe in Tennessee. And it was a rod that he designed with Berkley. And it was, at the time, a very, very good fishing rod. Now, I say at the time because it has been discontinued, or I believe it's been discontinued. I haven't seen one in ages. And I know a number of years ago when I talked with my contact that I deal with at Berkley, they told me that they had taken that rod off the market and that it was no longer available. So it sounds like if you do have one of those, that you probably got some old stock from somebody. Now, they were very good fishing rods. I owned one at one time. They were heavy rods. They're generally a little bit heavier than I like. But certainly a good rod if you're going to target bigger catfish or trophy catfish exclusively. And it was a very high-end rod for the time, and was really kind of one of the first high-end, high-quality catfish rods to really hit the market back then. And if I remember correctly, I'm not 100% sure, but if I remember correctly, I think Berkley phased out that ECAT rod when they went to the reflex rods, and they basically went with some cheaper options and lowered the price point on that product. They went with some Eva foam handles, and on some of them had cork handles, and there were a few other changes to those. And honestly, again, it's been so long ago that I just don't remember. But again, if you're going to target big fish, and you do indeed have that Berkley ECAT rod, I'm going to assume you probably got a pretty good deal on it because it was old stock. at the time, they were very good fishing rods, and I would not hesitate to continue using those and fishing with it, because it was a very good fishing rod at the time. Now, there was another rod floating around out there at one point, and if memory serves me correctly, it was Troph E-Cat, I think is what it was called. It was like TROPH-E-Cat or something like that. And if it was not the Berkeley E-Cat that you're talking about and was this other Troph E-Cat rod, I have never seen one of those personally, so I can't really speak with any kind of authority as to what they're like or the quality. But again, if it is indeed one of those Berkeley E-Cat rods, hopefully you got a good deal on it and should be a good product for you. Let's see. Last but not least, I'm going to do one more question, and we're pushing right at an hour here, and I'm going to get off. Jamie Blair sent an email in and said, good morning. I was watching a fishing show last night. They had an item called HydroWave, made in North Texas. Supposed to put out sounds of bait fish like a shad frenzy, schooling shad, passing shad finesse, fleeing shad, frenzy shiner, and bait panic. I'm just wondering what your take on this might be, and if you had any experience with it yet. Thanks for all you share with us. Jamie, I am aware of the HydroWave. I have seen it on a boat out of the water and talked to a guy in depth at the boat ramp one day about it. Now, I know this guy very well. He's a hardcore bass fisherman. I've known him for many, many years, and he is a very experienced and very talented bass fisherman. And he told me that the product worked. Now, I have not used it firsthand. He obviously uses it for bass fishing. I can say that, there is evidence that sound will trigger fish. I mean, that's the whole, reasoning behind rattle trap fishing lures, behind other lures that make bait, make noises. Not uncommon for white bass and striper anglers to do different things. You may have seen or heard of guys fishing for white bass or stripers or hybrids that will tap a fishing rod on the floor of the boat, around the boat, or tap a rubber mallet on the floor of the boat, around the boat. And, they claim that that helps with the fishing. Very, very common technique for white bass and hybrid fishermen and striper fishermen also to take an old fishing rod and beat it on the water, on the surface of the water, because it busts up that water and makes noise and makes the fish think that there's a feeding frenzy going on up there on the top of the water. Now, again, have not personally used this product, so I can't tell you anything about it personally and how it would affect the catfish. Now, I'm going to reach out to these guys at one point. I've had this on my to-do list for a long time because I would like to give it a try and see how it works for catfishing. And maybe at some point may have them come on the podcast and talk about this product a little bit. Maybe get their take on it and see what it's all about. I mean, I'm open again to anything, willing to try anything once or twice, at least as long as it doesn't hurt. So, I'll check it out, see if I can't get some more information about that at some point. Want to thank you again for listening to the Catfish Radio podcast. Again, check out learntocatchcatfish.com/products and springcatfishing.com. Check out the Spring Blue Catfish Techniques program, the Secret Channel Catfish Rig, Summer Channel Catfish Techniques, Jug Fishing 101, all those other products. Make sure you check out our sponsors, teamcatfish.com for Team Catfish products, and Brute Outdoors 5-Day Fishing Cooler for the ultimate 5-day affordable, super tough ice chest. You can use coupon code CATCHCATFISH at checkout for $25 off that product. And if you haven't done so already, head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/catcatfish. Check us out over there. Till next time, tight lines, streaming clickers. God, I can't talk. I've just gotten completely and totally tongue-tied. Tight lines and screaming clickers. We'll see you on the next episode of the Catfish Radio Podcast.